feel like this area here could be a wrestling pit for some of the kids. If anyone, you guys want to wrestle, because there's plenty of room here. I feel like we're way out in the distance over that way. But. All right, well, thanks for coming to our house this morning. I think this is the record for the number of people in our house. And so it happened to rain so heavy, so I'm glad you parked where you did so that the mud doesn't consume your cars. When we bought this property, the first time it rained, I had my van sitting out there. The house wasn't here. Nothing was here. It was just a field. And I looked out there, and my van was sinking. Anybody else have clay? You have clay at your property? Yeah. And so it was. We had to add extra steel to the foundation just to keep this house the way it is. But, all right. Well, let's get to it, huh? I've been studying this morning, really early this morning. I kind of crash course at the end, crash study. But I've been studying this. Before we do anything, let's pray. Huh? Father, thank you for this time we can gather as believers and your people. Just thank you that we're able to do that still in this country. Please give us open minds today and open ears and attention so we can have 20 to 30 minutes of attention for the next couple of minutes here. Please give me the words that are truth, and don't let me be swayed by anyone's opinion of how I look or appeal or whatever, that I just speak your words this morning. Amen. All right. I wish, I don't know about you, we'll find out. I wish things were back to normal. What do you think? I wish we could go back to normal. What do you think, Will? I can hardly wait till everything gets back to normal. I'm fed up. I don't know. But have you said that, any of you, in the last couple of months? Wish you could get back to normal. What do you think?
What's the point of voting? I'm at that point.
Yes. And these clearly are unusual times. They're different times than we've ever experienced. Probably all of us that knew Abraham Lincoln, a couple of us did. We've never seen anything like this. This has never existed in our country's history. Here are some examples of things that are not normal right now. Okay? Locking down our country is not normal. Requiring people to stay in their homes is not normal. Identifying who is essential and not essential is not normal. Forcing businesses to close is not normal. Requiring everyone to wear a mask, including dogs, is not normal. Dr. Kraus requires some animals to wear masks, right? It's muzzling, right?
Self-protection.
Self-protection, yeah. What are other examples of not being normal? Okay, I've just given you some big picture ones, right, in the country right now. How about being able to walk into Walmart without the Gestapo stopping you at the door? How about it? How about buying something at a store without restrictions on the number of cans of soup you can buy? How about this? We saw it last week when we were at Luke's baseball tournament. A man and a woman wearing a mask in the heat of the sun at the beach, walking alone with their masks. I just wonder why. Why? How about at, anybody been to Jervy Gant, the park? Very nice park. We've been walking there a lot lately. And right across from the park is the health center for the county. There is a never-ending line of people being tested. That's not normal. I don't remember that with other flus. I don't remember that with H1N1. I don't remember that with swine flu. Never-ending line. How about this? Standing on dots to keep your distance at a store. What do you think? Don't stand there, but stand here. Now, how do you get to there? Jump, I guess. I'm not sure. It's like a long jump to get there. How about sitting in a nearly empty restaurant when it's normally packed? Lee's Chicken. Anybody like Lee's Chicken? It's great. Okay, we seem to go there a lot now. I don't know why, but I know why, because there's one person in the restaurant, and that's us. Nobody goes in. They're all in the drive-thru. Sitting in a lot, you know, sitting in a restaurant, empty. Not shaking hands. I shook some people's hands this morning, and that's a nice thing. And I even looked up here. So you get trivia when I do a lesson. The trivia is, where did handshaking start? Anybody know? The Bible. Okay. That's always your answer, the Bible, right? No, the origin of the handshake, I looked this up, okay, so I did not use Google. I used DuckDuckGo. That's the search engine, okay? You know what that is? A new search engine that's less biased. The origin of the handshake, 9th century, this is B.C., a Syrian king shook the hand of a Babylonian king to seal an alliance. So it was about alliances. And I didn't know this, but there are handshake rituals of all kinds around the world. There's one where if you put your other hand in a pocket while shaking hands, that is disrespectful. There are some that only touch the palm briefly. A Korean culture just touches a palm. And there are some that hold on. Can I shake your hand, Michael? You okay?
Yep.
While we're talking, we hold the handshake. And we don't have to go like this. We just hold the shake. Why? Because that's a sign to others that we're in a conversation. Do not interrupt. You see? And there are multiple cultures that have different handshakes. But right now, we can't even shake hands. In fact, what I learned is, not only is there the elbow bump and the fist bump, I heard of something called the Wuhan shake, foot tapping. I have no idea. I can't even pick. Is it tap when you come in the room? I don't know what. Anybody heard of the Wuhan shake? Baseball, normally they do a line to show good sportsmanship. Basketball probably does it too. They line up and shake hands, right? Now Luke's team, they get their hat and they just go like this, blah, 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 you know, and just shake their hats. Now, I'm going to ask a couple of you baseball or basketball guys, EJ, come up. Adam, come up right up in front in the pit here. Come on, you're going to do one of your fancy shakes that you do. I don't even know what you do. Come on, get up here. Come on. I'm not kidding. Jump through the window. Okay? Before everybody, now turn so they can all see you. Do one of your ridiculous shakes that you do. Thank you very much. That's the crossroads shake. Okay? Okay, here's something that's not normal. Watching a baseball game, Major League Baseball, have you seen these images? There are cardboard cutouts of people in the stands. You can pay to have your photo in the stands, and some people have a photo with themselves with a mask. Explain that. They're not even there. Is their picture going to get the virus? I mean, they pay, and so if the ball hits them, a foul ball hits them in their face with their mask, with their cardboard cutout, then the team sends them a ball. It's hard to imagine. It really is. Okay, so these things are not normal, definitely. But what I'm going to talk about, all this is a preface to things in our lives that we thought were normal before the C word came, before all this insanity happened. They're really not normal. So normal before really wasn't what it should be for a lot of us. And I'll speak to myself first, I always do. A lot of the things that I did before that were so-called normal were not. They're not godly. They're not what God wants from us. You know, not being able to shake hands isn't a sin. wearing a mask is not a sin inherently. Okay? And I was telling the boys that the other day. Be compassionate. There's a lot of people with fear. There are a lot of people that are scared. They're for whatever reason. My own parents didn't want to come today. They were coming for Luke's birthday, which, by the way, let's sing Luke happy birthday. Where is Luke?
Aww, come on.
Okay, who will lead it? Who will lead the singing of Luke for his birthday, which was
day to Lukey. Happy birthday to Lukey. Happy birthday, little Lukey. Happy birthday to you.
That's right. There you go. All right. He reminded me that it's one more year and he'll be driving, and that's... No. What has been normal in the past may not be godly. The new normal certainly isn't. My question is, what does our normal day look like? What is a normal day? Anybody willing to share just briefly what your day looks like? A normal day that you have? Anybody willing to be brave and speak up?
Pre this or after?
Your normal day. Before all this happened.
Okay.
Well, leave out some days. Leave out some days.
So that before everything happened and everything, of course the baby was born, so that changed my normal altogether. So I would have before gone to the gym, worked, came back home, spent time with Michael, and that would have been the normal day. Now I'd get up, take care of baby throughout the day, try to get some writing done, do chores, work out, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. If we really look at each of us, and maybe this is a challenge for us to say, what was our normal day? What did we do normally before all this happened? Because I'm going to tell you about three things I think from my studies that I'm going to change, that I'm going to work to change with prayer help. And there are three things. Here they are. Serving others. Giving. And prayer. And I'm going to talk about each of them briefly. So let's talk about serving others. We're so busy in our life. In fact, before I do that, I've got a verse. And it's John 13:34. Who's got that one? I gave them assignments. All right. Big, big loud voice. Yeah. So we're called to love our families, to love one another. It starts with our family. We love our families first. Then who do we love? The brethren, the saints, those that are believers. We help our family and our fellow believers. And as parents, I can acknowledge this for me. You can say if it's true for you. Those of you that are parents here, we're so busy that doing what was just said is really difficult. Before, when it was normal, I was so busy, I could barely make time to have a dinner at night. I'm just busy with work, with all of the things going. Some nights, even now, we don't get to our dinner table until 10 or so at night. With sports and activities, the boys' work, all these things that we have, we're so busy. We're busy, busy. That is the bane of our existence, I think. Normal, is my point, was super busy. Is that true for any of you?
Yeah.
Just busy all the time. Constantly busy. So busy that we didn't have time to read the Word, pray, spend time with our friends and family and relatives. Spend time. That's about, if you don't have time, how can you spend it? And we work, I'm not saying we don't work, because we have to provide for our families. We work to make money, right? We've got to provide for our families. But it made me consider, and Will has been pushing me for a long time, maybe something else is something what you should do, even at my age. Maybe I should look at something else that gives me more flexibility. Have any of you ever considered that? Reconsidering, I know Michael Pearl speaks about that a lot. The idea of reconsidering your career if you can, and if that could help provide more time. So we work these long hours. We're busy with school. We're busy with sports. We're busy with gardening, with veggie gals, with whatever it is. Lately, it's been veggie gals, and we're going to have to build a new building. It's going to be, we already have two on the property, so now it's going to be a third, and it's going to be full of food, I guess. No, she doesn't like me talking about that, so never mind on that one. For our family, I'm speaking just about us, this lockdown has changed a lot for us. I work at home right at that chair every day, right at that chair. I haven't worked in my office in Gainesville since March. I'm home. Now, that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing when I'm trying to do a webinar, and boys who are heavily armed walk through, and they're seen. Or dogs bark, or a chicken walks through the house, or, I mean, it's true. And I say, oh, sorry about those armed boys, or, you know, I mean, it's just not, it's not good. Now, we have dinner at our table every night. We did before. That's something we always made time for. Is that true? Pretty much, if we're home, we're having dinner together. The dinner is not always perfect. I can tell you, not the meal. The meal is great, but I'm saying the conversation often is pretty superficial. So we're trying to work on that. It can't always be about airsoft and masks and sports. I mean, it's got to be more than that. So we're working on that. But we have spent more time together, I would argue, than we've had in the past. Things like going for walks. Kathy and I go to the Jervy Gant a couple times a week sometimes and go for a nice walk. And we've, that driving time gets a chance to speak and talk to each other about issues and things that are going on. I went up to my office last night in Gainesville, and Kathy went with me, and I get to get mail, you know, and so we have a chance to talk. That's helped. But what about serving others beyond our family? And we all have, everyone in this room has given time to interfaith, something that you've done, giving food, serving at interfaith, serving a meal to the homeless, donating clothes, stuff like that. I wish we could donate Luke's Iron Man shirt because he's had that. He's not, hopefully not wearing it right now, but he's had that since he was a baby. Why? We can, but you shouldn't donate bad stuff, right? You got to donate your good clothes, right? So my question is, what are we doing beyond those little few things in serving others? Who's got Matthew 25? 25, 30, 35, and 36. Who's got it? One of you's got it. Luke or Will, you got it? You got it? Speak up.
Well, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came for me.
We've all heard this. We've all heard this verse. We give to the poor, we give food, we visit prisoners, help the widows. We all know this verse. How are we doing these things? Matthew Henry, I know Ray's, if he listens to this, he'll like that, that I'm quoting from the Matthew Henry commentary here, but I'm going to read it. Matthew Henry about this said, "We are not to suppose that acts of bounty will entitle to eternal happiness. Good works done for God's sake through Jesus Christ are here noticed as marking the character of believers made holy by the Spirit of Christ and as the effects of grace bestowed on them who do them." The good works don't give us salvation, but they're evidence of our character and our willingness to serve and our willingness to do as God has asked us, and to please God. So sharing our talents is one of the ways we can do that. Each of you has a talent. Do you know what those talents are? Have you figured out what those are? We did at a church we used to go to. We did a study of our gifts, and we each have gifts. Do we know what those are? And are we willing to use those? Being a friend. So many people are lonely and scared. And how does that manifest? It's time, isn't it? It's giving of our time. It's being there for friends. It's reaching out to people beyond just a quick text. How are you doing? But that's a start. That's better than nothing, isn't it? It's great when something happens and you know people will write you and care about you and are wondering how you're doing. You know, and this is part of being a friend, donating, giving to family and friends. These are things, and we could go on forever. We're not going to do that. But what are we doing? What could we be doing to serve others for God's sake through Jesus? What are we doing now? Was our normal in serving others the right thing? Or should there be, I can't believe I'm going to say this, should there be a new normal? I don't like that term at all. I can't stand that term, new normal. But maybe for this, there should be a new normal. There should be for me. What am I doing to give to others and serve others? Maybe question this point. How about giving normally? And that what we're speaking about here, we already talked about talents and help and our time. When I mean giving is respect to money. Not just giving to this body, this small body, but other areas, ministries, other groups that serve God. Here's a question. I don't know, this may be politically incorrect to say, but if God's people gave the way we're supposed to, would we need Medicaid? Would we need Medicare? Would we need Social Security? Seriously. Would we need insurance? Any of you part of an insurance ministry? We're part of one. It's so awesome. You're part of it, Alan. And this ministry is not insurance, but when Will hurt his finger and when Andrew broke his arm and when I had my hip replaced, people from all around the country gave and paid our bills, and we paid nothing. Because people who were believers vowed to help us and give to us. What if we did this as a culture? We wouldn't even need those services, Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps. How about if we gave to our own families? Sometimes I know, like, I'm picturing when my parents are getting older. My mom and dad are 75. They're getting up there. And my dad has some health conditions now, and some of you have older parents, obviously. I'd like to think that when they get infirm that I will be there and help them, even in my home. My mom, when her mom and dad passed, they were in her home with her, and she cared for them. And sometimes you can't do that, I know, but I'm saying is if we as a culture and a people would do this, would we need the services that are provided? It takes courage to do it. It takes a commitment. My mom had to quit nursing for a time when my grandfather was dying. He had Alzheimer's and he was very ill, and he got to a point where he didn't even remember how to swallow. It was horrible. But she was there and she brought him food every day to the nursing home where he was. She ground it up in a blender and fed it to him so he could actually eat that. You know, and that took courage and a commitment. Are we willing to do it? I don't know if I am or not. Are you? I mean, do you know if you're willing? I'm not sure. I'd like to think that I would. Now, money, we just talked about money, right? Is money tight for any of you in this room? Anybody else? Will you admit it? When all this hit? Okay. This hit, my company income dropped 90%. We're still recovering. I don't know if it's ever going to get back. And I can't do conferences in person. So it's like 10% of normal revenue. I didn't take pay for 2 months, and then I got a handout from the government, the payroll protection thing, and so I don't like it at all. But and that even now my pay is half of what it was, and I laid off people, I fired people. I bring that up because we're a lot of us financially around the country are struggling more than we ever have because of all this. But does the word tell us we're not to give when things are tight? I don't think there's an asterisk in a verse that I'm going to read here that gives us that permission. Don't give if times are tight. You know, so that's not scriptural. I got 2 Corinthians 8:2. Who's got it?
I did. Justin
had it. Oh, okay.
And he had to step out.
Okay, all right. That's right. Yep. So are we giving freely? Are we giving willingly? Are we giving thankfully? We've all prospered. We're right here in this room. We're the wealthiest people that have ever existed in the world. Right here in this room. I don't care if you're 15 an hour or 12 an hour or whatever. We're the richest people in the history of the world sitting in this room right here. As far as financial. We got air conditioning. We got lighting. We got, house that's big enough to host 40 people or whatever. You know, we got food. Boy, do we have food. You know, I mean, giving is for believers. And it should, and we've got to be doing it, all believers are. That includes poor people, so to speak, as well as the rich, so to speak. Luke 21, 1 through 4. Who's got it? That's one of the long ones, so I think I gave it to one of my boys, so they have to read extra long. Who's got it? Luke 21, 1 through 4. One of you's got it. Where is he?
He's right there, but he's already read the verse.
Okay. Somebody's got it. You got it? Okay. Luke 21, 1 through 4.
And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting them thither 2 months. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living.
And that spoke to me a lot. Do we give sacrificially when times are good? Sure. But what about when they're bad? Are we sacrificially giving? Is giving when you don't even know, can you afford to do it? You don't even know if you have the money to do it. What that's doing is giving us trust that God will provide. We give sacrificially. That means there's a cost to us, right? Giving when you got plenty of cash, that's not sacrifice at all. That's just doing what we're supposed to do. Giving sacrificially is when we don't know we've got it and we got to trust. Have you, all of you, continued to give in the ways that you have given throughout this? What was your normal in how you give? And these are questions we all have to ask. I'm not telling anybody what to do other than scripturally here. Acts 20 to 35. Who's got it?
I got it.
Okay.
I have showed you all things, how that serve laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah, we've all heard that. Even if we can't give much, we aren't exempt from giving. How about if we're in debt? Scripture tells us very clearly debt's not a good thing. Any of us in debt? I have a house mortgage. We paid our house off, but then my business struggled 20 years ago, remortgaged the house. You know? So we got a mortgage, so we have a debt. Anybody else have a debt? Car debt? loans of any kind. See, so when we're in debt, that imprisons us in a sense, so we can't give as much as we would. I'm wondering, and I this has just came up as I thought about it. I'm wondering if renting a property might be the way to go. That's like heresy in America to say we don't own our land or our property. Maybe we shouldn't. That's something to think about, is to consider. Hold on loosely. I like Ray, what he always says. Hold on loosely. I challenged myself on that recently. I sold my Mustang. So the Mustang's gone. It drove away, and I just about cried when it left. But I sold the Mustang, and my dad says, "Why'd you do that? You loved that car." Hold on loosely. Okay? And the thought was, what's better, to use that money for some other purpose? We thought maybe a family boat that all of us could benefit from. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. But the idea is holding on loosely. We're not exempt from giving, even if we don't have much money. We give because God has given to us. Right? We're all the richest people in the history of the world. We give because we want to please God. We give because when we give sacrificially, our faith is growing. We're not sure where the money is going to come from. We want to be used by God is another reason we give. 2 Corinthians 9, who's got it? Go, Adam. Yes. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3, I'll read that. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Okay, so these support what I just talked about. And there are wrong reasons to give. Who can think of a wrong reason to give? We see it all the time in our culture.
Tax exemption.
Tax exemption? You're right, Michael. If you're giving because you get a tax exemption, that's wrong. That's a fringe benefit, I suppose. But if you're giving freely, do you care? What else? Anybody else? I've got a whole list of things that we give. Yeah, that's right. Quid pro quo. I give to you, I get something back. There's scripture that says give and it will be given to you, right? So we think, well, if that's biblical, if I give, I'm going to get it back. Well, that's a wrong reason to inherently give. Anybody else?
To be seen.
That's the idea of pride. We see rich people giving to a college to have a building named after them, or to a medical center to have a wing named after them. The Callan Bamberg Medical Suite. You know what I mean? Just picture that. See, so you have, and there's pride with that. Pressure from others is another one. And then power. I always tell students that I teach, money, finish the sentence. There's three words in this sentence. Money is power. I wish it weren't, but it is. If you have money, you almost always have power over others. And so by giving, you can sway someone's what they're going to do by withholding that money. It happens in churches all the time when some rich person donates and then withholds it because they don't use it the way that person wanted. Or the money is earmarked for a specific thing that that person dictates. And that is, again, that's wrong. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Who's got it?
Okay. him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly.
Okay, I'm going to admit something. Kathy and I donate to a college. Every year we do. I don't know why I do it. Yes, I do, because my name is on the scholarship. Okay? It's not a lot of money. The state matches it, so it ends up being $2,000 a year to this college I went to, and our name is on the scholarship. So that is doing exactly what Matthew 6:1-4 is saying. Why does our name need to be on that scholarship? That's not in secret. You know, that's sounding a trumpet. The Kathy and Butch Oxendine scholarship, you know. And then they write us, thank you for the scholarship. And you get a little pride out of that, and you get a little ego boost. It's totally against Matthew 6:1-4. So what was your normal in giving? Anybody willing to admit that in the group? Anyone willing to share what you did before when it was normal in the giving that you did? I know it puts us on the spot, but that's the kind of the point, isn't it? It says, challenge the normal. What was the normal before? Okay, it's all right. What's that?
Nothing changed for us.
Kathy?
Jesus to Muslims. He came to Stephen Masood, who some of you remember. He came to your house. I'm going to give the 10% to their ministry because they are reaching Muslims because he's Muslim, he's not a Christian. So I'm still taking what I get, I take 10% out of that to give to these organizations because more than ever, I mean, BLM, Voice of the Martyrs, and some people, I have a friend in particular, and she says, I can't look at that. And, you know, I'm not going to judge her on that. I love her as a friend, but I think we have to look at this because we need to be reminded there are people in other countries. You see a girl standing next to a bombed-out building, you know, in Syria or somewhere, and their needs are real. They've been there before, and the needs, they're still there more than ever. Now they're getting persecuted on top of I'm not changing my giving. My 10% is still 10%. I do get upset when I see others in my family not doing that. you know, boys, that's what's called the Day of Reckoning, boys. It's up on the board. It says the Day of Reckoning, by the way, is your ledgers. They're going to be reckoned. The word reckon means to take the numbers and give 10% of that number. And it doesn't matter what you give it, but we are going to do that. That's why I remind myself when that was good. But I can't control. I do want my boys to get 10% of their income. They're not going to like it because the number's going to be pretty high. But it's okay. We just need to give to. And there's organizations in this country that like the Stephen Masood's ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, so does that answer that?
It does. Okay, I'll admit, I haven't given nearly what I did before. So that makes me rethink some things when I was reading here, you know? Go.
So, the passage, all things were given for good for those who love God or call them according to the purpose somewhere around the day. Coronavirus, we typically are thinking, oh, this is, it's bad, but God can bring out of that some good things. And I remember even Ben saying this a few months ago, how are we going to look back and say, okay, because of coronavirus,
That's right.
So, I mean, part of that, we as a body, you know, we, because of the coronavirus, we decided to step away from the buildings we were renting, you know, the factories and stuff, but we were still having to cough up the rent part of it, even though we weren't there. So that factored into the decision. But what that's done is also freed us up financially as a body to really be a blessing, I think, to Sky Barkley, you know, when he was here. So we, you know, I think we felt no restrictions and you know, it's like, oh, we've got to pay the rent, so we don't need this much.
That's right.
You know, so that, and we're able to be a blessing and really to our members in need without, you know, okay, or, you know.
That's true. It's absolutely true, yeah.
I think that's the way God has been able to bring out of that good things. And so it makes us more, maybe we think more about where the money's going, or we, you know, make more conscious decision rather than just write the check and say, okay, there's my 10%.
Yeah.
You know, we can maybe even do more. You know, because that 10% a good guy, but it's really just, and God wants 100%, right, of our lives. And so it's really, you know, it's kind of just a token. So I think that in a way that's how it's affected us.
Good. Well, thank you. Okay, so we've talked about serving others. We've talked about giving money. And the last point is prayer. And prayer, if you don't know it, you should know it, has so much power. We don't even begin, most of us, to tap into that power. Did you know, I don't know if you know this or not, Kathy was reading to me from a book. I maybe asked her to on the spot here without telling her in advance, about World War II history and how important prayer was to our victory and England's victory in Europe over the Nazis. Kathy, can you remember, you were telling me when we were driving, the whole country of England had multiple days where the country stopped, including the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, and prayed for deliverance. And the Nazis, it's miraculous that they didn't take England, but they never did. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. And even the major newspapers were reporting that, you know, that the country is going to be praying. Word got around, and you can't find it in history books today. You would never read about that.
And that's something. Didn't they have hundreds of thousands of men saved?
And they saved lives because they were able to navigate that very night across that channel when it was the day before impossible. And there were people at the end of it, generals, and these are people at high command. And they said, I have no doubt whatsoever that because we prayed to Almighty God, He steered the course of events that it gave us victory and saved lives. And he says, I have no doubt, I've never seen anything before this and probably will never see it again. And there were multiple men that said that. It's probably in a book somewhere, but like I said, you won't hear about it. Nobody will see it in an American history book, the power of this prayer. It's like 7 days of prayer here, another seven. And every single time there was a result from that prayer, every single time.
And Eisenhower said it, this was when he was General Eisenhower, but he said, without prayer, D-Day wouldn't have been successful. Without prayer. Because everything had to go just right to invade France and move in to restore France's freedom. And without prayer, Eisenhower himself said it. But we don't know this at all, do we? Did any of you ever hear that? Maybe some of you did when history books were more unbiased. I don't remember ever reading that, ever. Alan, did you hear it? I mean, that's... Dave, have you ever heard of that? Yeah, so anyway, what is our prayer like? What is our prayer like? Is it a few seconds during dinner? I'm not disrespecting my parents by saying this, but we would pray... Thank you, Lord, for this meal. Amen. That's pretty much it. That was the extent of prayer as a child. And is it just during meals? Is it How long do you pray? I mean, Scripture tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Who's got it?
Oh.
Oh.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
That's right. And so when I hear that, I think, pray without ceasing. How can that be even possible? I mean, we got work to do, don't we? We got things to do. We got places to go. We got jobs to do. We can't pray without ceasing, can we? It says it in Scripture. Everything and give thanks. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't say pray without ceasing unless you're really busy. Does it? Unless there's an asterisk in there that God allowed for that. Unless you're really busy, you don't have to pray. No, it doesn't say that at all. So here's some things I studied and came up with a different ways we can pray without ceasing. What about in the morning when you wake up? Just say what you're thankful for. What are we thankful for every morning? Not asking for something, but what are we thankful for? Thank you, we can live in this house. Our children do this when we pray at night in there. God allowed for that. Unless you're really busy, you don't have to pray. No, it doesn't say that at all. So here's some things I studied and came up with a different ways we can pray without ceasing. What about in the morning when you wake up? Just say what you're thankful for. What are we thankful for every morning? Not asking for something, but what are we thankful for? Thank you, we can live in this house. Our children do this when we pray at night. Thank you for providing for food for us. Thank you for this property. Thank you for cars that run. Thank you for health. Thank you, whatever. There's so many things we're thankful for. And none of that says, I want this from you, God. I'm just thankful for the things that we have. How about during everyday chores? Mundane things, washing the dishes, folding clothes, mowing the grass, driving in the car, going somewhere, all kinds of things. Working on a tractor, you know, there's where we need to pray for no anger, right? I mean, we're working on equipment that doesn't work right, you know. But driving to work, there we're praying without ceasing. It's conditioning our minds and our thoughts to be on godly things and asking God and thanking God all the time. So we are praying without ceasing. There's a commentator I was reading that likened constant prayer, to a radio being on. Any of you work? I know Kathy does. She listens to music in the morning, and she has some speakers. Elizabeth Elliott, I hear, because I'm working in the room here, I hear songs that are going throughout the day. It's like a constant radio presence. Not constant, but a lot. And that's how prayer can be. It's like the radio going. And we're not always listening all the time fully, but you're hearing it, aren't you? You hear the radio. Sometimes you stop and sing if you like a song, whatever. So another way is we tell him what he already knows, which is deepening a relationship. He knows everything, but you could tell him about your day. You could tell him about something that's going on in your life or a problem you're having. What is that doing? That's deepening that relationship with him. He already knows it, but he likes to be told. How about parents? Do you like your kids to... Here's what I always do, and I don't always get the answer I want. I'll say, how did Airsoft go yesterday when they went to the Airsoft day? And they said, great. That's the extent of the answer. I want to know more, right? I want to know who got the biggest welt, who got shot in the face, or I just want to know things. And we do as parents, right? We want to know, how was the prom, Kristen? And then you tell all about the prom, and right? And God wants that from us, that relationship. He wants us to tell him things, and he already knows it. But he wants us to tell him that. Praying while you wait. Did you know this? Some of you have probably heard this. We have a lot of waiting in our culture. Think that's true? We're waiting right now, even. You know, and we spend, did you know this, 2 years of our lives, by the time you pass, waiting in lines. 2 years of our lives waiting in lines. Did you know the average commuter, if you drive to work, like Michael driving to work, 38 hours a year in traffic. 38 hours. If you live in Los Angeles, it's like 38 days because it's so bad. Some major cities, you literally sit and wait for hours. We do a lot of waiting. There's a perfect time to pray, isn't it? What else can you do? You can't, shouldn't be on your phone texting, right? We know this, but there's a chance to pray. How about singing? Some of us, our voices aren't that great. That doesn't matter. Who cares? You're by yourself, sing. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. No one is listening. No one cares about your voice, how good it is or bad it is. Doesn't matter. There's a way, again, praying without ceasing is singing. And it made me think Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer doesn't count. Okay? So I need to rethink what I'm listening to sometimes. Is that right, Leah? Living on a Prayer is not, it's not edifying. It's not a praise song. All right. How about confessing when we blow it? We blow it all the time. We make mistakes. Sometimes we sin, you know. We just confess. Do we yell at the kids? Yes. Am I jealous of somebody? Yes. I don't like this jerk. Yes. I admit it. I wasn't pointing at anybody in that area, but... God forgives us. We confess it. He forgives us. How about the last one here is no more worry. We've all heard Philippians 4:6. Anybody know it from memory? Philippians 4:6? Who's got it? Anybody got Philippians 4:6 from memory? Yeah. I always thought what was fascinating about this one and really spoke to me is be careful for no thing. Nothing. Nothing. No thing. And I spoke on this months ago at the beginning, that particular the subject is fearful worry for no thing. God is in control. He's control of the sea. He's control of the panic. And we are we careful for no thing? I worry a lot about stuff. I struggle with that. Worry about my grandpa even taught me, you need to be thinking about things that can go wrong. So he always taught me to look for the problems. So that conditioned my mind to look for problems. This could go wrong. This could go bad. This could happen. Be careful for no thing. So all those things relate to prayer. So as we conclude here, three things that I pointed, I had five, but I knew it would take a while, so we're going to do those another time maybe. But serving others and our family, the brethren, giving, and that's financially what we can give. Be willing and able and generous, sacrificial giving, and then prayer. Pray without ceasing. So my question is, was that all normal before? Wasn't for me in a lot of these things. That's the normal. That was the normal, the old way. I'm going to say the new normal needs to be these things we just talked about. Not the new normal of wearing masks and taking your temperature like Pastor Ray this morning or yesterday. When people came for his marriage conference, he told me the pastor had a thermometer on him, taking their temperature when they went to his marriage conference. They were all distance. And by the way, that's an oxymoron, social distance. Does anybody know what an oxymoron is, you kids? It doesn't mean you're a moron. It's a word. Oxymoron. What's that?
Jumbo shrimp.
Right, there you go. Jumbo shrimp. Military intelligence. Government help. Oxymoron. You know, so the new normal. What's that? What do you got? Oh, yeah, there you go. This is the political, this is where he has to, the web guy has to cut all the stuff out. So what was normal before? Maybe it shouldn't have been normal. We've talked about that a lot at our house. The normal wasn't the greatest before. Kathy, you've been saying what was normal you were hoping would change. Is that true? The normal before?
True.
You want to expound? Never mind on expounding, that's enough. That didn't support my narrative. All right, so one thing before we conclude, I'm going to ask, when we did this at the Adventist church one time, and I thought it was really powerful, is as a body, to stop for a second, and we do this sometimes Wednesdays when we were meeting Wednesdays, and just stop for a minute and quiet, and anybody who would like to pray, prays. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable, it's quiet. There's power in corporate prayer. That's why watching a sermon and watching church on a TV is not the same. It is not. All of you here, I'm thankful for all of you. Because you're normal people. Thank you. That's hard to find now. And we need to be around each other and encourage each other. And prayer as a body is powerful. Let's pray, huh? And we'll just be quiet and still for just a few minutes. Father, we thank you so much for all you do for us. We love you. We know you love us and care for us. And we want to do your will, and we want to do these things in the normal way they should be. We're going to pray more. We're going to give more. We're going to serve more. We just need to be real when we speak to you. It's just like a conversation. Just no grand words and King James language. We're just going to say thank you. And we know you're in control. And we know that you're with us all the time. We can call upon you. We can speak to you at any time, and you're with us. Your Holy Spirit's with us. We just thank you so much for Jesus, most of all, and what he did for us to save us.